Okay, it's time for the inaugural edition of Season 3 of Gotham Needham. Time flies. With our own Sal Berria, Chicago, Illinois. Sal, how you doing? We haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Your voice sounds different. Have you gotten older?
Yes, a little older, a little wiser. Well, you've got an impressive thing to put on your resume. You're now doing the occasional piece for the Hockey News. Please tell us.
That's right. I'm writing a bit piece every now and then. It's called In the Cards. It's in the Hockey News. So far, I've had two articles published, and they're just short pieces about some of the more unique hockey cards that have come out in the last, 100 years of collecting, I guess.
Yeah, and of course, because you're on the War Room here on NHL Home Ice, that's the reason you got that gig, and we didn't get a credit. Peter and I are very upset. We'll talk about it later. That's all right. No, we didn't get a free subscription out of it, but you know what? Good for you. Good for you.
Well, I didn't get a free subscription either. So.
Oh, my goodness. But you know what? It looks good in the resume, doesn't it?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, hockey cards is my hobby. It's my passion. So getting to talk about it on the War Room has been a lot of fun the past 3 years. And, you know, blogging on it on my site, Puck Junk. But now getting to also talk about it in the Hockey News every now and then. I mean, it's just... it's really cool. When you like stuff, you like to talk about it.
The Bible of hockey, the Hockey News, absolutely. Even this day and age of instantaneous information, it's still cool to be in the Hockey News. Now, let's deal. We're with hockey cards for the 11-12 season. We're 2 months into the National Hockey League season. I've seen some cards. I was busy finishing my baseball set, so I wasn't really concentrating. I thought, I'll wait till I talk to Sal to see what to get. Well, what should I start with? If I want to pick up a beginner set, I don't even mean a beginner set like you're getting into the hobby. Just give me the first set that I should go for, in your opinion, for the 11-12 NHL season.
Well, even though I'm always not a fan of their design, I really like Upper Deck's OPC set.
Okay.
And it sounds funny to say Upper Deck and OPC.
It does,
without a comma. But basically, they've licensed the name from Topps because Topps doesn't have the right to make hockey cards.
Right.
So I like that set because... you get a rookie card in every other pack, and it's a big set. So you get your third and fourth line players. I like those kinds of sets because they remind me of the old sets, back when OPC sets were like 396 cards. And that's
a
lot of cards because there are only 21 teams or
whatever.
That's right.
That's right.
And an OPC, a box of OPC will run you about $48-$50 if you buy it online, maybe upwards of $55. So it's, if you buy them in the store, they're about $1.50 a pack. If you buy them online, of course, they're cheaper. Actually, a funny side note about that, Upper Deck and Panini have gotten, they're kind of busting down on a lot of these online dealers.
Yep.
Because they can sell cheaper for the cheaper than card shops. So they've actually been making all these rules for who can and can't sell their stuff.
Is that legal?
Well, it's their product. They could do what they want.
Yeah, but can I sell it on the secondary market?
I got to tell you, no. Actually, I bought, there's a big online retailer. Actually, I like them. I'll say their name.
Sure.
They're called DA Card World. They're very good. They're based in Buffalo. I've ordered from them many times, never had a problem with them. They actually did something in Buffalo called Hockey Fest, which I think is great, because whenever you do anything to promote, hockey cards, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I went to a show this past weekend, it was like middle of November, and I bought some cards from them, and I literally had to fill out a form saying that I was not going to resell these cards, these boxes of cards.
What if you open up the cards and broke them up? What happened
That's
to,
different.
You
That's
know, individualism?
They, actually, the boxes now have a barcode and a serial number on them, and they actually, they're like, which, because, if you see boxes of cards lying on the table and you want to grab, this box probably has good cards, I can feel it, so you want to buy that one and not just the one that they hand you off the top of the stack. So the guy said, pick your three boxes, and I'm like, okay, and then he starts writing down the serial numbers on the boxes, and I basically had to fill out my name, address, phone number.
Wow, I love to know the legality. We're talking the United States of America, capitalism, free enterprise.
Well,
I don't understand that.
Another, I know we're getting off topic here.
No, Keith, that's fine with me.
Another online retailer that I've also ordered from called Blowout Cards, also another fine company, ordered from them, never had any problems with them. Upper Deck decided that they cannot be there, cannot sell their new product. So they're they took Upper Deck to court about it, saying, well, wait, we've been selling your products for 10 years. how come all of a sudden we can't? And Upper Deck is like, well, you're undercutting everybody else, and so, you know, that's
isn't that it. How it works? Boy, we need more competition in the card business then. I think this is outlandish.
Yeah, and they're setting minimums of, like, you know, online retailers cannot sell lower than a certain amount. And I don't know. I mean, there's a couple of things. Like, you know, after like a couple of months, then I don't think they have to keep track of you anymore. But I think when you buy like that first.
Okay, I can see that. I understand. I can see that. Sure.
I could technically buy a box from Dave and Adam's Card World, mark it up $5, sell it to you. You'd still get it cheaper than your local shop.
I understand that.
Profit,
I get
they
that,
don't want that
point. Yeah, no, I get that point. It's still, you know what, we need more competition in the card world. But, okay, that's interesting. I'm going to keep track on that. No, I like that kind of stuff in God I'm Meeting. We're talking to Sal Berry from PuckJunk.com. See, we usually talk cards and design. Sometimes we talk the legalities of it all. So go out there and do a mass protest. Sell your cards. Okay, let's talk something you said, Sal. You don't always like the design of their cards. Why is that? I've seen a couple of them. I'm all right with them.
Well, the Opeachy set, and I actually picked up a full set. I haven't reviewed it yet on my site, but I will soon. A couple of things. One, they use like really plain gray cardstock, so
yeah.
The text on the back is against like gray.
It is hard to read.
And it is hard to read, and they look like, you know, if you ever like seen like trading cards printed on a cereal box, that's
mm-hmm.
what they look like.
I mean, but I had fond memories of those as a kid, cutting them out in the back, always wrecking them. Yeah.
Right, but those were a bonus that came with the cereal. If
sure.
you're buying a pack of cards, like if you think of like Upper Deck Victory, how slick those cards are. And you know, how easier they are to read because, you know, they're printed on bright paper on
sides
and stuff. I think part of it might be maybe Upper Deck has to pay a lot of royalties to Topps for the name, so maybe they just decide to print them on cheaper cards and figure, oh, well, we can get away with it. People will buy it.
Is it aimed at a different demographic again?
Yeah, because Opeachy tends to, well, they do like, they'll do like a 500-card base set, 50 rookies, 50 marquee legends. You know, so old-time players anywhere from, you know, Tim Horton to Doug Wilson to Wayne Gretzky to Bobby Orr, and then even, you know, players like of that caliber, they'll do like a 50-card subset of. So actually, you might not get a rookie in every other pack. You might get a marquee legend.
Right.
Depending how you feel on that, I mean, you'd probably rather get like a, I was going to say Ryan Nugent Hopkins, but he's not in this set because it came out pretty early in the year. But you'd rather get like a rookie card than maybe another card of Stan Mikita.
No right.
disrespect to Stan Mikita.
No, of course not.
Awesome. But if you like Stan Mikita, I could actually recommend another good set of cards that I think you might like.
Okay, go ahead.
And these are actually, I just posted 3 box breaks of it up on my site. It's called Parkhurst Champions.
I've seen it. I haven't looked at it yet.
So
okay.
What's happening now is because there's competition between Upper Deck and Panini, Upper Deck is scaling back the amounts of sets that they made. In Upper Deck, okay, they have a set called Upper Deck Victory, and they have another set called Upper Deck MVP. And those used to be 2 separate sets. Now, MVP got smuggled into Victory as an insert set. So, like, maybe one in every 4 packs of Upper Deck Victory have an Upper Deck MVP card. Does that make sense?
Yeah, is that going to make it highly collectible because there aren't many of them?
Well, it's a harder set to put together, but the
right.
thing is that a lot of the, you and I will agree, a lot of these sets are pretty interchangeable.
They are. It's very much so.
So Parkhurst Champions is like, it's basically Parkhurst, and if you remember that Champs set from a couple years ago?
Yep.
They did 2 Champs sets in 08, 09, and 9-10. There was also another set that came out during the 2008-09 season called Upper Deck Masterpieces. Do you remember
yes,
that?
Yes, I do.
They were the painted cards?
Yes. You liked those, didn't you?
Oh, I loved them,
yeah.
So Parkhurst Champions is basically 100... okay, the base set is 100 cards, and they're of all old-time players. You know, from 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s. I mean, they even have guys as current as, you know, Igor Larionov.
Okay, that's kind of fun, sure.
And they kind of look a lot like an artifact set. If you remember artifacts
I do.
The last couple of years.
Yep.
But they're very nice. For the color photos, they really upped the color saturation. So, like, and if you look at my site, you'll see that I have, like, a card of Dennis Savard, and the red is just pops off the card. It's beautiful. And another card of Harry Howell, and that blue in his Rangers jersey just pops right off. I mean, it's really a fantastic-looking set. But then the short-printed cards are actually very interesting. They did, I think it's about 30 or I think 40, I'm not sure of the exact count, these cards called wire photos. And what it is, it's a black and white photograph with like a typewriter font caption underneath it, and it looks like those old wire photos, if you remember like the AP wire photos.
Yep, I do.
And so that's the idea. It'll give you a caption and tell you what's going on. And
what's the name of this set again?
It's called Parkhurst Champion.
I've just caught up your website. I see a great one of Bobby Orr. It looks very sharp.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the you mean the painting?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's another one. So another of the short print sets. So you have the wire photo cards, and then you have the renditions cards.
Okay.
And then you get about one or two autographs per box.
You got a Gilbert Perreault here.
Now, is that, okay, is that
the masterpieces.
Actually, that's funny, because I was opening that box. I went to this card show, and they're with my friends, and I'm opening this box of cards, and I'm like, this has to be the worst box of cards I've ever opened, because I think, like, my autograph was Terry O'Reilly, and that's pretty good. But
yeah, it is.
I was getting a lot of doubles. I was trying to put together a set, and I'm getting a lot of doubles, and I'm like, this has got to be the worst box I opened. And then I open the last pack, and it has this Gilbert Perreault card, and it's thick. It's a thick card, and it's actually the guy actually painted on the card. And my friend checked, because on the bottom of the boxes, they'll print like the Upper Deck is good about printing your odds. And he's like, dude, you only get one of those cards in every 4,000.
So you're getting an actual painting. It's not a copy. You're getting this guy painted 10 of these, and you have one of them.
Yes, but like I said, you get one in every 4,000 packs or 200 boxes.
Still.
So I lucked out, but it's law of averages, because, I mean, I've opened, tons of boxes
sure.
and stuff and never gotten anything good, and then every now and then, I'll get, like, something really hard to get like that. But I love this set, and then it also has
that's a sharp-looking card. Let me just say that painting. Perreault, I think that's really a novel idea. If you're a big fan of a certain player, you'd want that in your collection.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and I mean, people will pay a lot of money if they're collecting a certain player. I mean, there's different levels of player collectors.
Yeah.
And we talked about this before, but you have some people who will, easily lay down, $300-$400 on a card. I mean, I was at when I went to that show, this guy had this Chelios autograph, and I think it was limited to like 50. And I looked at it, and I'm just like, I think he wanted 25 for it. And I looked at it, and I go, yeah, it's a unique Chelios card, but it wasn't anything that, like, if I don't have it in my collection, I wouldn't feel bad about it. Like, I'd rather have his rookie card than this autograph card. But then other people, they'll try to get every single type of card.
And yes.
It's the cards like the Gilbert Perreault where I just kind of draw the line and I go, okay, I'm not going to spend $400 on one card.
No.
It's vintage.
But now you've got a Perreault like that if you want to trade with someone with the Chelios. You know, I'm just back you up a bit here because I'm on the website, and if you're listening, play along at home, puckjunk.com, and you'll find the card breaks for the Parkhurst Champions. I see the wire photo. Great picture of Bobby Orr in the All-Star game going in on Tony Esposito. Mm-hmm. Great black and white picture. In fact, it even makes it better because it's black and white. That's a sharp-looking card.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're all like that. And they're very... it's an interesting photo selection, and I think it's just a really neat idea that instead of, like, player name, stats, stuff like that, I mean, they're just showing old photos, and I don't think we have a problem with that.
No, not at all.
I think it's a wonderful set between the black and white photos and then the painted cards and then the mini cards, which I like, and they're also painted, and then just the player selection of, the 100-card base set. I think it's a fantastic set. A box will run you anywhere from $70 to $90, depending where you get it.
Well, it's a lot of money, but...
it is, and actually, if you think about it, so, you're looking at, like, maybe $4 or $5 a pack, but I like it. And you know what it was? That first box that I bought actually had 3 autographs, and I'm like, wow, okay. But then the next 2 boxes only had 1 autograph, but then again, I got that Perreault card, so...
So that's the payoff. Let me ask you this, Sal. I have this with baseball cards, too, with the top set. And in hockey, those mini cards, how do you store those things?
There's actually... they do make 15 pocket pages for... They're called tobacco-sized pages. They do make them. They're just like the 9 pocket pages, but they have 15
I got to look for those, then.
Pardon?
I got to look for those. You like those? They're kind of neat. They're kind of novel.
Yeah, I mean... I'm happiest when I could put the set in the pages, and they make a lot of different sizes from the standard 9 pocket, of course, to like the 6 pocket for the tall boys, the 15 pockets for the tobacco cards, the 4 pockets for the postcard sizes, or even a two pocket for like the larger postcard size. So you can pretty much find anything, any size for any card.
Talking to Salisbury, puckjunk.com. We got to wrap up this first edition. Anything else you want to lay on us this first time?
I made a really big purchase at this show, and it was one of those perfect storm purchases.
Okay.
I'm sitting with my buddies. One nice thing about blogging is that you meet other bloggers, and a lot of them, a couple that I know, are around Chicago. So when we, you know, when they have the show twice a year in Chicago, we meet up, we trade cards with one another, which is awesome, because this is how grown-ups trade cards. Hey, man, here's some cards you need. Thanks. Here's some cards
right.
you need.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic. But we sit down, and we're trading with each other and opening our packs of cards or whatever. And these two guys sit down, and one of them says 8586 Opeachy. They're talking to each other. So, of course, my ears perk up because I'm thinking, I need that set. That's the Mario Lemieux rookie year.
Yep.
So I say, do you guys have a set to sell? And they're like, yeah, we're dealers. I'm like, well, do you have a table? They're like, no, we just came to the show to look around. And apparently they had just bought a hockey collection off of somebody, and they were inventorying what they had. And they had boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff. And I ended up filling four really big holes in my collection. You ready for this?
Yep.
I picked up an 8586 Opeachy set. That's a Mario Lemieux rookie. Also has Al MacInnis.
Yep.
I picked up an 8081 Opeachy set.
Oh, that's nice. That's one I don't have. Okay.
That's, I'm one up on you now.
Yep.
Got the Bork rookie and the Messier rookie. Well, Bork's rookie also appeared in the top set, but Messier only appeared in the Opeachy.
Yeah, I've got maybe a fourth of that set. That's it.
And you know what? I would have been happy with finding either one of those mm-hmm. at a price that I wanted to pay. But then I also picked up a 74-75 Opeachy set.
Yeah. And is that in good condition?
Yes.
Because I've got that, but not in the best condition.
And a 73-74 Opeachy set.
Yeah, the first year I really collected. I like that set. It's the one with the different colored borders at times, isn't it?
Yes, and you know, the 73-74, the Topps cards had four different colored borders.
Yellow and green.
They had yellow, green, blue, and red.
Yep.
And the Opeachy set only had
green?
Red and green.
Yeah, green was a definite in it. Yep.
Yeah, and so that's a little disappointing because I think the more colors made it, I don't know, just more of a 70s.
Some good cards in that set. Richard Martin with his stick towards the camera. I remember a lot of that set.
The 73-74
yeah.
set?
Yeah.
Got the Larry Robinson rookie
with the
card.
Big sideburns.
Yeah, and you know what the nice thing was is that these guys had just bought. It's got Billy Smith. Actually, I'm looking at the
Billy Smith with his mask off, and
yeah, he looks like he's talking.
He's
to
talking
somebody.
To a guy. Great card. Love it. Yep.
You know, and I think why this was really just the perfect storm because these guys just happened to sit down at a table.
Yep.
You know, off to the side at the convention, there's like a lunch area, you know. So there's like big open tables, and people will just sit down and start like shuffling through cards. And
sure.
So they just happened to sit down at the same table with me, and they just happened to buy all these sets. And we were actually able to negotiate a deal that worked out. Well, of course, it worked out in my favor, but I think they were a little more inclined to sell to me because I wasn't going to turn around and flip the sets for a profit. I'm just like, nope, these are going in my collection. And then the guy's like, all right, well, let's see what we can negotiate. And we worked out something. And if you believe in price guides, I'll tell you that I paid less than low book value for all the sets.
Yeah, I'm not a slave to price guides. Unfortunately, so many dealers are who don't really know their stuff. How much would it cost now? We got to end this. So I could go on for hours. People are going, stop! My favorite set of all time, we've talked about this, the Opeachy or the Tops, the 70-71, the bubble name over the top.
71-72.
Is that what it is, 71-72?
Yes.
How much is that going to cost me now?
Top set or an Opeachy set?
Either one.
I think the top set is maybe, I'm just throwing out numbers here. I would think around 400 at the high end. Maybe less. I mean, because you got Orr and you got Dryden and
yeah.
you got Howe. And those
I've got
are
the
like
Dryden
the big,
card, yep.
The big cards.
What about Opeachy?
The Opeachy set's going to run you more because there are more cards, they're harder to come by, and then there's a few more notable rookies in it. There's Marcel Dion,
yep.
there's Guy Lafleur. So those two are pretty high-priced rookie cards in the set, as well as Dryden. And then they have a different, actually the 71-72 set has a different Gordie Howe card between the top set and the Opeachy.
Oh, okay. Neat. See, I'm still kicking myself because in 86, I could have had that set in mint condition for $125. I didn't buy it. And,
you know, in 89, I could have had a Gretzky rookie for $25.
Yeah, well, you still could. I've got one in fine condition. Send me some money. All right, Sal, we'll talk. No. Sal, let's do it again.
All right, sounds good.
Puckjunk.com, that's the website. And this is Got 'Em, Need 'Em on the War Room.